And our scripture today comes from the book of Luke. I'm reading from the Common English Bible, chapter 1, verses 26 to 33. When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom." This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, these words today, grace and blessing and favor, are the words that the scripture sort of brings forth for us. Even if they're not directly said, they are the ones that are lifted out from the scripture. And what we're going to learn a little bit today is how Mary's story influences our understanding of grace and blessing. The angel Gabriel, we recognize the name back in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. Gabriel was one of the angels that stood before the throne of God. Daniel goes ahead and describes Gabriel, the angel that appeared to Mary, in his text. According to Daniel, Gabriel's body was made of beryl. Does anybody know what beryl is? It is a gemstone that has a lot of beryllium in it. It comes in lots of different colors. Do people know what a morganite is? A gemstone called a morganite? Some of you maybe. How about an emerald? That one we know. That is a beryl. And so beryl is this beautiful gem. And Daniel says the body of Gabriel resembled this gem. His arms and legs were supposed to look like burnished bronze, or so like a brushed bronze. His face shone like lightning, and his eyes glowed like torches. This was the angel that appeared to Mary, and what his physical body looked like. And then he was dressed in a cloak of linen, bound by a golden belt. And then there was Gabriel's voice. You ever wonder what the voice of an angel sounded like? According to Daniel, his voice sounded like the roar of a multitude. Interesting fella, you think? This is who came to Mary. Now, we know what the angel looked like, maybe kind of what he sounded like. Now imagine Mary. What do we think of when we think of Mary? When you imagine her, how do you imagine her being?
Young girl.
Young.
Quiet.
Quiet. I mean, imagine our nativities. I was looking around. Do we have a nativity right here? We do, but it's really small. And she's wooden, so you can't tell. We imagine her kind of sweet, maybe, huh? Gentle. Her face always looks like that. Oh, yeah, there's Mary. She just seems serene, right? Well, if Mary was a quiet, gentle, serene individual, and this angel that looked like a giant gemstone with legs of bronze and a voice of multitudes, so many, many voices coming out of his mouth, and his eyes and his face were fiery and glowing, would a sweet and calm and gentle person probably stay sitting in their seat? Might be inclined to hide under the pew. Mm-hmm. So when I imagine Mary, based on her reaction to Gabriel, which we'll get to here in a minute, I don't really see her being quite as mild. I think she might have been a firecracker, which is funny because I've had a couple of people now send me or tell me about plays they've seen where they're like, Mary was definitely a firecracker. She's probably sharp, like really smart and brave. But I've wondered, what did Mary have planned for herself before she met the angel Gabriel? What kinds of things would she have wanted out of life? Well, if you read further down through the scripture, past her little visit with Elizabeth, when she sings her song, the Magnificat, we can kind of see what sort of person Mary was, what she longed for. If her song is an indication, she longed for the world to be a better place. Does anybody long for the world to be a better place? She longed to be in a world where humans were treated with dignity and respect and equally, and we hear that in her song. So while we imagine her as humble and obedient to God's will, I don't think she might have been quite the timid little lamb that we think. Well, Gabriel's first words to her are, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." Notice, after this, Mary's response was not alarm. You have your scripture open right there. What does it say that Mary did?
She was greatly troubled.
Troubled, and that's another word for, in many of the others, is confused, perplexed. Didn't say she was scared. Didn't say she was worried. She's confused. Tells me a little bit about Mary as well. But she might have wondered, how am I favored? Why am I favored? Why would the Lord be specifically with me? Because God is with all of my people, so what makes me be the one that God wants to speak to? How is it that the messenger of the Lord should find reason to call me favored? I have I said small and did this earlier, nobody caught the joke, but a really small Greek and Hebrew Bible. And it takes that word favor, and it comes from the word charis, which means graciousness and acts of divine influence on one's heart. And it uses the word also grace. Grace is favor. What is grace? Something given that we did not earn, that we don't deserve. And this charis that God was giving to Mary was to bring her joy and gladness. So the angel greets Mary and tells her that she is going to be favored and that what she is going to be given should bring her joy. And she was perplexed. I see Mary there, like the furrow in her brow going, huh? Why me? Gabriel speaks again, and now Gabriel says the words that we all expect the angels to say. What do we expect the angels to say? Yeah, don't be afraid. We didn't hear that Mary was afraid, by the way. We heard she was confused. Don't be afraid. So I've always heard pastors and scholars say, well, the angels had to say don't be afraid because they were pretty scary looking. In fact, in just the previous text, Zechariah meets the angel, and the angel terrifies him. Later, we read that the angel terrified the shepherds, but we didn't read Mary was terrified, and yet the angel said, don't be afraid. Well, I was studying that this week, these words, don't be afraid, and we read them all the way back in Genesis 15:1, when the Lord comes to Abraham and says, don't be afraid, I am your shield and your great reward. And Abraham's kind of saying, well, what are you going to give me, God? What's going to happen? Well, I'm going to give you a son, and I'm going to give you a family line, and all of these wonderful things are going to come your way. Okay, don't be afraid because all these good things are coming my way. Well, mixed in with that, he also said to Abraham, but you're going to also see difficulty. Your family line is going to know trouble in their lives. But don't be afraid. I am your shield and your fortress. There are at least 70 times in the Bible that say, don't be afraid. And the majority of the time when it says don't be afraid, that is followed by instructions and prophecies that are both joyful and also scary. So the angel might not have been saying don't be afraid because he looked scary or sounded scary. It might have been more to do with what was coming in the life of Mary. In fact, we read that Mary pondered these things in her heart. I wonder if that means that as the future unfolded, Mary would remember that the angel had said, don't be afraid. These things will turn out all right. You have found favor. It wasn't going to be easy for Mary. She was found pregnant out of wedlock. People were going to whisper and talk. There were going to be social fears. There would be prejudices, people who might not have wanted to rent them a room because they knew what they knew or they had heard it, or they might have taken an opportunity to shame her. The hard times for them wouldn't end at Jesus' birth and put all of the murmuring to rest. People would still talk about the child, but also they would have to flee. They would have to protect Jesus. They would have to hide Jesus. Mary would be at the side of Jesus as Jesus grew into a man and faced all kinds of things that would terrify a mother. And she pondered these things in her heart because the angel had said to her, "Don't be afraid. You have found favor." So we think about that word, favor. When I hear the word favor, I think positive things, don't you? If I say blessings to you, don't you imagine that I'm wishing good things for you? And yet the word favor and the word grace are closely associated in my Greek and Hebrew translation. Is grace something that always means positive? That's what we extend, and that's positive. But when do we need grace? Don't we need grace when things are not going our way? So to give you favor is to also give grace. You will be given grace. It's sort of what the angel was saying to Mary. When we hear the word blessed and to be blessed, we count our blessings. We count the good things, don't we? Count your blessings, name them one by one. Well, we're going to count. They counted them in the kids' message today. Oh, puppies and cinnamon rolls. And what traditions do you do at Christmas that you love? What's a tradition that you guys do that you love? Anybody got a fun tradition you do at Christmas that you just think's great? Nobody has great Christmas traditions? We light Advent candles. And we remember all of the peace, hope, joy, love. We blow out candles on Jesus' birthday, as the kids and I always did. You bake! You have Christmas Eve service. You sing Silent Night. We gather around with the candles. We have all of these things that we are glad. We count those as blessings, right? Count those blessings. Count those beautiful days. We always think a blessing is good. But do we ever expect that a blessing could be applied to something that didn't feel good? If you called me tomorrow, you said, "Pastor, I'm having a terrible day. This horrible thing has happened to me." And I said to you, "Greetings, my friend. God's favor must be upon you." You would think Pastor needs a nap. And a snack. I think she got the wrong message from me. We don't think a favor or blessing sometimes might be the hard things in life. And yet, the angel announced to Mary that this wonderful and beautiful and joyful thing would come to her along with things that would be hard, and that would be a blessing. Well, I think maybe favor and blessing just aren't what we think they are. And in those moments, we need that God that spoke to Abram, "I will be your shield, I will be your shelter." And then we extend grace into that, and we wonder about the word grace. Well, I took the liberty here of taking my NASB translation, and in a couple of the places where we hear the words favor or words that are about joy, I inserted the word grace because I believe God wants us to find the joy in the hard things, the blessing in even the difficult times, so that all things can be for us favor. So I tried this, and I hope that you'll hear the scripture a little differently now. Verse 26, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. The descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, grace-filled one. The Lord is with you.' And then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace with God. And behold, you will conceive a son, and you will call him Jesus.'" That feels quite a bit different, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. "You have received grace, and his name is Jesus." How about this other favorite one? We like to hear this one at Christmas. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And so the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of unmerited grace, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared a multitude of angels and a heavenly army, singing praise to God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among all people to whom God has given grace." Different ring to it, but I think that's the message. God sent his favor in the form of Jesus Christ. God sent his favor to be our grace. And sometimes the blessings aren't at all what we think that they are. Today we marvel at that brave and confident and fiery young woman named Mary, to whom God sent that interesting-looking angel, Gabriel. We admire the fact that she didn't shy away or hide under her chair or try and get away from the hardships. She didn't try and make excuses or say, "Oh God, please ask someone else." We appreciate her for her willingness and humility, that she would wonder why God would think her strong enough, smart enough, and faithful enough to face these challenges. Today, we, like Mary, ponder, why does God continue to extend his grace to us? Why does God care so much for us? Even though sometimes in the hard days, we forget that this is still a blessing. Why does God love us so much? Well, the announcement of Christ's birth was intended to inspire us to have hope and peace, and also for us to know that God is still sending grace. God sent grace into a world that wasn't ready for it, didn't deserve it, and today we're still not ready and we still don't deserve it, and yet God gives us the gift over and over, and we're allowed to come to the cradle that we often sit by the tree to remember that grace every single year. When we pray, as we did in our service earlier, "The kingdom come and thy will be done," what does that look like? Does thy kingdom come and thy will be done look like Jesus as a baby? Does it look like love that walked on the earth? When we pray, perhaps what we're really saying is, "God, love to come, his grace be done on earth as it is in heaven. For thine is God's love and power and glory forever and ever." So this week is Christmas. We're excited about Christmas. We should be excited about Christmas. Everybody looks awfully... Peter, I'm so glad you're here to be excited about Christmas. We're getting ready to celebrate Jesus' birthday and sing happy birthday to Jesus. So what if we allow ourselves this week, during Jesus' birthday week, to hear the words of the scripture differently and imagine where grace is in all of it and where blessing is even in the hard things? What if we look into the face of adversity and say, "Lord, how can I make blessing my reality in all of this?" What if we take what we know about Mary and remember that as we meet people in the community that might strike us as being a little scandalous because Mary might have looked that way to the people in her world too? How many of them are the Marys of our day? Lastly, what if we ponder all of this in our hearts enough, hold on to it enough, that we could become just as fiery and determined as Mary was, to long for and hope for and be part of the story that changes the world around us, so that all people could be exactly what Mary wanted to see, equally loved, equally served, equally shown grace. For God so loved the world that he gave us his grace in the person of Jesus. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of unmerited grace, which will be for all people. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among the people to whom God has shown his grace." God's grace, blessing, favor might not look the way we expect it to look, but it is absolutely what we need for Christmas this year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much that you sent us your Son. Thank you for the story of Mary, that we can look to her, that we can imagine her, that we can see ourselves and people that we love in her, that we can be inspired by her. And she was not fearful. She was curious, willing, wanted to be part of the journey of earth, Lord. Help us to be inspired to be Marys in our community. Lord, thank you for her. Thank you for the Son that she bore. Thank you for the grace that we've received because of it. Lord, we love you. Happy birthday. Amen.